This is the November 27 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. He's in Windsor. Logan Kimmel is Roach Ag Marketing out of Naperville. And Chip Nellinger at Blue Reef AgriMarketing is in Morton. All three are in the state of Illinois. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets, but first I want to remind you to visit our website at willag.org, where you'll find information about the Farm Assets Conference coming up on December the 13th at the I Hotel here in Champaign-Urbana. It will be a great day, including agricultural commodity marketing information, along with Ag Econ from the Farm Doc team, as well as some crop science from the crop scientists. Oh, and Eric Snodgrass will be there as well from Conduit Ag to talk about the weather. You can sign up today for that event. It is the Farm Assets Conference at the I Hotel here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois at willag.org. Where again? willag.org. And if you can't make it, you can pick up the Farm Doc team the following week. We'll be traveling across the state with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. That's on the 16th to 17th and 18th of December. All the information is on our website. Again, the address, willag.org. Now let's begin our conversation. Matt Bennett, we'll start with you from agmarket.net. Can you outline how you see the marketplace laying out for corn, soybeans, wheat, and maybe some of the livestock?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Lately, you know, over the last couple weeks anyway, we had seen the bean market appearing to kind of hold back corn, if you will. It was almost like corn had a fair amount of good news. Demand's been strong. Exports have been good. Commitments are running vastly ahead of a year ago. Sales as well. You know, and then, of course, ethanol grind has been pretty impressive. And then the bean market just couldn't see the light of day. But yet we came in here this week. And really, to be honest, this week, it's almost like we've had a bit of an unwinding of that type of thought process. There's probably a fair amount of soybeans, the corn spreading activity that's gone on. Maybe some of those have been unwound here. But from a fundamental standpoint, the corn balance sheet certainly seems to be tightening. You've got to make the case, I would think, that you may be at least 100 million bushel too low on demand right now. Some got it as much as 200. You know, and so then the other thing to think about whenever you get closer to January report, are they going to go ahead and change production? And I think there's a certain possibility for both corn and beans. Maybe you could see production slip a little more. A lot of that would have to do with low moisture content. Soybeans, probably fundamentally, it's just not a pleasant picture. You look at South America, you don't have any weather. And so it's just been an uphill battle for soybeans. And then, of course, wheat seems like in the absence of war premium, you really have a hard time keeping anything going with the wheat market. You know, we know that typically whenever you get some sort of a price rally, Russia dumps cheap wheat on the market. If we're not concerned about their ability to do that, I think it makes it an uphill battle for wheat as well. And then you get down to cattle. Cattle on feed report last week was not friendly, but it wasn't expected to be friendly. You come in here this week, and of course you have the screwworm story. You're probably going to have to factor in limiting, you know, these cattle coming north of the border from Mexico. I don't know how long that's going to happen, that, you know, that we're going to allow those in. But essentially what that will do is, in a time whenever we've got tight fundamentals, it could get a little tighter yet. So the cattle market looks okay for the time being. But as I've tried to tell people for quite some time in here, the funds seem to be disinterested in really pushing the long position. And so I've got to think that, you know, the best avenue, if you will, even if you're still bullish, is to at least be covered, because this cattle market, as we've seen before, can fall apart rather quickly.
Logan, what should a producer do if they are in need of marketing corn prior to the end of the year for tax or other purposes?
Yeah, something we've noticed here in the last couple weeks is that the futures market, say on corn, for an example, has been relatively range bound, quiet. But some opportunities we saw were the flat price that folks could market off of has actually been improving here since harvest due to the quick harvest pace. A lot of folks we're talking to are hearing that appreciation in their basis has given them maybe a little bit better of a marketing opportunity on some old crop if you need to sell by year's end. So if you, and you still could take a look at what basis levels have done in your area and your flat cash price and take some risk off. And if you want to still have that upside into the new year, maybe attach a call or a call spread to that. But that's been the opportunity we've been seeing here in this corn market is flat price appreciation, even though the futures market has been relatively range bound in a channel.
And the same question for you, Chip. What should producers do if they need to market corn before the end of the year?
Yeah, I agree. Definitely the basis has improved probably conservatively 40 cents since the worst levels in the middle of harvest. So we are looking at a basis opportunity, whether you need to move it by the end of the year or even into January, February. We're seeing some pretty attractive basis levels that probably need some close consideration, and maybe you, you know, lock that in if you still want some upside. You know, call spreads, or, you know, if you're a little more adventurous and it is a tax situation or a cash flow situation, you can always sell the cash, re-own with futures, you know, much less capital needed, and you generate some cash flow. So I think, you know, the take home is we may be looking at an opportunity on basis here in the short run, not only for the rest of December, but also maybe early part of the new year. And beans offer the same type of basis opportunities as well, Todd.
The same question for you, Matt Bennett. If producers need to market corn before the end of the year, what should they do?
We just have to keep in mind, Todd, that, you know, as you know, we've really bounced off those August lows. I mean, clearly right now, even after we've scaled back this market a little bit, you know, you're sitting about 33 cents off the August low when you're talking about Dease corn, whereas we've been up above 430, you know, pushing about a 50 cent move. And so, you know, we're safely over the futures as far as that low is concerned. And then, as we all know, basis has been very, very attractive as compared to what you would think in a massive crop with big stocks. And so, with that being the case, a producer that's wanting to maybe consider about some sales has to think about it. Hey, you know what? We're in a better situation than what we were in before. Are we going to hit the high of the market? Maybe not necessarily, but we're significantly better than what we have been. So I guess my thought process whenever you're looking at this corn market, reward with some incremental sales, you know, and then if you get an opportunity to sell at higher prices yet, of course, you're probably going to have more corn to sell. But if you've got to generate some cash, I like it. In my opinion, you get into the month of December, Todd, and all of a sudden, some of these folks looking for corn, in my opinion, are probably going to start opening up January contracts if they can't shake the bushels loose. And once that happens, it would be you're not going to see basis appreciation, you know, once they start opening up January contracts.
By that, you mean they're going to go ahead and call them in and take delivery?
Well, they're going to offer it up, I think. You know, I mean, that's something, that's one of their favorite tricks, if you will. And I'm not trying to be crass. It's just that sometimes when you have a hard time sourcing the bushels, you got to figure out a way to get a hold of them. We know a lot of folks have January corn sold. They always do. There's a lot of bills to pay in the month of January. You know, you got to make land payments a lot of times in the month of January. So with that being the case, we know January contracts are certainly going to be plentiful. So, you know, if I'm an originator and I can't shake the bushels loose with a really attractive basis, you know, my next course of action is going to be, hey, go ahead and bring that January corn in. We'll allow you, you know, to bring it in. Well, what you're doing is you're certainly giving them a little bit of an assist, if you will, to not have to worry about bidding up to get physical bushels on hand.
Let's circle back through this on corn just a bit. Given the push to front-load corn sales to Mexico in anticipation of a trade war under the incoming Trump administration, the seasonal strength that we have talked about oftentimes over the last week and a half, maybe to 3 or 4 weeks, within ethanol and the producers there having to hunt down bushels of corn, and the tendency for farmers to store and ignore is there false hope in the corn market strength? And I know that relates to the question I just asked about whether they should market or how they should market corn if they need to at the end of the year. But some of them, I'm quite certain, will look at it and think, hey, this price is going higher. Is there false hope within that? Chip, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there could be. I think during this time of year, and probably always, it's a good policy to maybe separate the two, right? Separate, on the one hand, the basis side, and the other side, the future side. Really, between Thanksgiving and about the 12th, 15th of December, at least in, Illinois, and this is kind of the general case everywhere, you're usually offered your best basis opportunities in corn during that period. So, is there false hope there? There may be. I think there always is hope. I think farmers in general are very have to be hopeful and optimistic about the potential for higher prices. But, to your point and in this discussion, if you're blessed with really good yields, which a lot of people in Illinois were, not everyone, but a lot of people were, and you look at the basis appreciation that we've seen since harvest and the futures price rally off the lows, you're looking at, upwards of $100 an acre better to your bottom line. So at the end of the day, I think you have to look at what is provided there from a, gross dollars figure. And I think it's human nature, myself included. We always have to kind of guard against, being overly optimistic and thinking we're going back to the 450 or 475. That's a possibility, but I don't think you want to build a marketing plan on the rest of your old crop bushels around the fact that, corn has to move higher.
Yeah, I mean, essentially what's happened, of course, we know that we've pulled some demand forward as far as exports concerned, is front loaded. The producer, whenever they put the corn in the bin, we know that typically they don't want to just turn around and take it right back out. And then, of course, if you've put it, at the elevator and you've paid, for instance, 20-cent dump fee, to get out to Dece 1 or January 1, you don't typically see those bushels move, until you've gotten to that point. So, I think, Todd, that essentially people have been tight-fisted and just kind of reluctant, to go ahead and let some of these bushels go, given the circumstances. Is it a false hope? I think what you got to understand is that, yes, you've seen price appreciation in the flat cash market. And so a lot of producers see, whereas they could have got $3.50 before, now they're looking at maybe $4, $4.10, $4.20 in some places. And so, you see 50, 60, 70 cent appreciation in flat cash price, all of a sudden you get bullish. And I think we got to be really cautious in that thinking, because I think for you to really get to the point where you feel like you're in a better situation, interest included, cost of storage, everything included, it may take you a while to get back to where you realized cash price is as good as what you're looking at today.
Logan Kimmel, you were thinking about some ideas to market old crop. I don't want to get to new crop just yet, but old crop corn, other than what we've discussed as it's related to things that have to happen prior to the end of the year, what would you prefer them to be doing as it's related to old crop corn?
Well, I think if you look back at what the corn market environment right now, a handful of things going for it that have maybe kept the price propped up versus like the soybean market, and the spreads have been awfully strong. You've had pretty good exports book of business and ethanol numbers very strong. So I think if you look at this now March old crop corn contract and you went through the work to put corn in the bin and you've seen the spreads tighten and the basis strengthen, if you get the futures market to maybe rally back up to say the 445 to 450 area, that seems like that's been kind of a zone that has been resistance and been an opportunity, I guess, to do marketing on your old crop corn that's in the bin. So that'd be what I'd look for, is any strength here into the end of the year, the top end of this slightly upward channel, might be one to take advantage of when you put pen to paper. And if you are in an area that had well above what you were maybe marketing for on bushels, looking at it on a per acre basis, if it makes sense, that area on old crop corn, at least on the March futures, to me looks like that would be resistance and maybe a selling point if you need to market old crop.
And looking forward into 2025, what are your expectations and what do you think producers should be doing, Logan?
Yeah, those contracts have, at this point here, have been a little more concerning over the last couple days to even weeks. So I think it's important to look at, say, like the 450 December corn level, or even if we happen to get 1050 on the beans, it might be worth producers sitting down and putting some orders in. And if we happen to get some headline news, which I think we could here into the next few weeks, the months, to pop this market up, I think we're in that defensive marketing attitude still now for this new crop, and have some orders in and increment up, because judging by the almost perfect now South American weather in this bean market, that could be a concern going forward for new crop bean prices. So any rally to me, and it looks like it might be one, having orders in and working on your marketing as you're getting your inputs locked in for 2025.
Tell me more about what you called the massive size of the crop in Brazil, Chip. I assume you're talking only about, at this point, the soybean crop that will begin to come in early next year.
Yeah, I think that's the elephant in the room. And I feel like I'm a broken record. I know the last couple of times I've been on, Todd, I've talked about that. It's kind of slowly realizing situation down there. But so far, they have not had any weather problems. They continue to get ample rain. There's plenty of rain forecasted in their two-week forecast. And now this, you know, isn't new to the market necessarily. I think that may be a silver lining that we've maybe traded a lot of this. But at the end of the day, you know, there's some, I guess, debate on whether that's a 162 crop or 165 or 168. The bottom line is that's on track to be a 6+ billion bushel bean crop in Brazil. And that is more than what the world supply needs right now. So unfortunately, I think beans may be the issue. That's another reason, to your point earlier, let's not get too overly optimistic about corn, even though demand pace on exports and ethanol is phenomenal on corn. It may be the bean market that derails the whole thing. It doesn't mean you can't have a bounce of 30, 40 cents in the next, you know, 6 or 8 weeks. But once they hit January, you know, they're pretty well past the point of having, a massive drought down there. And 6 billion bushels or more out of Brazil is going to be more than what the world market can sustain, you know, tariffs or no tariffs. If you raise 6 billion bushels of beans in China, they don't need our beans anyway. They'll buy them out of Brazil. So we've got some serious headwinds ahead of us potentially with the size of this Brazil bean crop that looks like today. Now it can change. It looks like today they've got a monster in the making down there.
Now, each of you have been in contact with producers across the Midwest and talking with them about the size of both their corn and soybean crops, probably of wheat as well. USDA, in the first couple of weeks in the month of December, will survey roughly 70,000 producers across the nation for the final crop production report, which will be due out, I believe, on January the 10th. Do you expect, and I'll start with you, Chip, to see any changes in those numbers when they are released, whether that be in yield, number of acres, or potentially on the WASD or the consumption side of that S&D table?
Well, that's a loaded question, Todd. Part of my brain in talking to producers leads you to almost think that maybe they could come down just a touch on corn yields, especially. Talk to people, they're driving in and out of elevators, there haven't been lines, there's no piles. Now demand's been front loaded and it's been really good. So maybe the demand is kind of chewing this up. But the other thing, Todd, you know, when they get on a trend, they meaning USDA, they usually don't reverse it, right? So they don't typically go down on yields in November and then back up in January. So that trend just would lead me to believe by itself then maybe they could shave yields just a little bit. I think there was plenty of evidence on this November WASDE report that they could have bumped corn demand up a little bit. Maybe they're taking a more conservative approach. We're well over the pace we need on exports. This week we were 4 or 5% above the pace on ethanol, I believe. And so there's some evidence that they could raise corn demand a little bit. All that could help in the big picture. But, you know, again, I don't know that that's something you can hang your hat on or be too overly optimistic about something bullish coming from the January crop report coming up.
Interesting that you should pair that with the lack of ground piles across the Midwest. I know the consumption has been very good. And I did ask Greg Johnson from TGM here in Champaign County a few weeks ago, because the grain piles hadn't really shown up. And it's not that they hadn't shown up. It's just that they kept going away as they were shipping corn out by rail. And I'm going to guess that that's happened across many places, including the use by the ethanol grind or the industry itself in moving these forward. So I'll pose the same question then to you as well, Logan, will there be changes or very many changes based on the surveys that USDA is collecting from farmers for that final set of numbers coming in the month of January?
No, I have to agree with Chip. I think those are all good points. And I would maybe venture to guess a slight decrease in the yield, being that that was the trend there in November, especially on, you know, the soybean number caught me by surprise how big they cut that yield. And I think just looking at the price action here with the spread action, at least in the corn market and the firming basis levels, that might lead to assume maybe a little bit lower of a yield and maybe an uptick in the demand side. And I would expect to maybe see that show up in the January numbers. But again, the question is, how much can that really chew into the carryout, with the bigger concern being on the soybeans, both here domestically and globally? So you need to see a pretty sizable cut to chew into that bean number. So that would still be the concern going forward. You get a cut to the yield and maybe an uptick in demand. You still got a lot of work to do on these carryout projections.
Can each of you talk about 2025 marketing as it's related to soybeans and what considerations you're taking in at this point? And Chip, I'll start with you.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because you look out there at these 25 corn, no 25 beans, and nothing's really jumping out saying this is a great level, right, given where inputs are. So I think two things. I think on the beans, number one, I'm backing up a step. I think we have to maybe lower our targets a little bit and be more defensive, conservative, and not assume that necessarily the market's going to have to give us a wild profitability in 2025. My fear is that at current ratios and coming off of what seems to be pretty good corn yields across the Midwest, maybe even record, that it won't be a problem to get plenty of corn acres unless beans stage a rally. And if the South American crop that we've talked about comes to fruition, we don't necessarily need any more bean acres here. So we could lose some bean acres at the expense of corn. And so I think to me, that says long answer, even longer. We have to, if we get any chance close to 450 or above on these 25 corn, become more aggressive. That doesn't mean just sell it all. It might mean some, you know, put strategies, or, you know, maybe that's some sort of a private insurance product that can lock a floor in. And anywhere close to 1050 on beans, if we get that chance over the next 60, 80 days on that November 25 contract, I think we got to be more aggressive and protect ourselves. That 6 million bushel crop, if it happens, yes, it's not a shock. The market knows that it's potentially there, but it will be really tough for the bean market to deal with that. There will be plenty of supply out of Brazil for some time to come, and we won't be competitive for many, many months into spring and even summer.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that as well. The having a plan in place here, I think, is going to be important. Now, the one good thing on new crop, though, is it's still very early in the ball game, and and anything can happen here in between now and the next 12, 14 months. So if we're given a futures or a rally here on the new crop corn and soybeans, I think it would be wise for folks to up their percents, look at putting floors in, still keeping the top side open, looking at HTAs, talking to your merchandiser, because at the current levels, as we sit here today, you would have a concern for the size of the South American crop weighing on, you know, our prices and competitiveness here. So I think those would be good targets to look at here going into the new year. If you got the December 25 corn up in the 450 zone and Nov 25 soybeans, possibly rally back up to where we were at the beginning of November, those would be targets, I think, that weren't taking action for grain producers.
And one final topic before I get to the final word from each of you. I was hoping we could discuss wheat shortly as it relates to the incoming Trump administration and Mexico. There has been some back and forth this week between the Trump President Trump and the president of Mexico. It is the number one importer of U.S. wheat. How concerned might we be as it's related to that export market and the impact it could have on the price of wheat? And I suppose, Chip, I'll start with you.
Yeah, no, I think it's a real consideration. It seems like the markets took a measured tone to that, you know, when that tweet went out about, you know, extra tariffs, so to speak, on Mexico and Canada. The market seemed a little bit reserved. So, you know, on the one hand, you hope that that's just the start of some negotiations and that that gets to, you know, some mutual agreed level, or that they make some of the changes that are on the table to avoid some of that. On the other hand, you know, wheat, obviously Mexico is huge, not only, you know, for our grain markets, but, you know, proteins, beef, pork, you name it. They are, you know, one or two of the biggest buyer in a lot of different agricultural commodities. So obviously a big deal there. The other thing hitting the wheat market in its own right is what looks like a pretty decent Southern Hemisphere harvest right now. And so, you know, there doesn't seem like there's any shortage of supply in the world, even though there was some tightness out of the Black Sea and maybe the Russian wheat crop was a touch less. Now we've got Australian and Argentine wheat that's kind of hitting the world market. And that seems like right now the world wheat supplies, you know, seem a little bit soft right now.
Let's get a final word from each of you now. We'll start with Logan Kimmel at Roach Ag Marketing.
Yeah, I think as we go through the holidays, kind of as we've touched on and started, if folks are in a position where maybe a need to make some sales on old crop, pay attention to your local cash price basis levels. And as we sit down and look at the marketing for 2025, I think it's going to be important to have a defensive marketing strategy or attitude in place for the time being until things change. And one way producers could have a plan is have orders in. And you can always move them. You can always attach upside to a sale. But as we sit here today, I think use rallies to get caught up and you know, have a plan in place for the next 3 to 6 months.
Your final word, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Yeah, I think that was well said about having a plan. I think as far as 25 goes, you know, be prepared to be a little bit defensive and conservative, use some strategies that lock a floor in but maintain some upside. And on this crop that we just harvested here, what I'm calling the old crop, you know, look at basis. I think we're staring a basis opportunity right in the face in both corn and beans. Beans may be more critical than corn because if this big crop comes out of Brazil, we drop off the cliff as far as competitiveness of U.S. beans come about the 1st of February when those supplies are hitting the world market.
And your final word, Matt Bennett from agmarket.net.
Well, I just think that sometimes when you get a gift, which I would say this rally that we've seen, you know, over the last few weeks. When you get a gift like that, the only way to really take advantage, you got to accept it, you know, and the only way to do that, of course, is to go ahead and make some sales. So I think that an incremental sale in here, especially for someone that needs some cash, don't beat yourself up over it, because it's a heck of a lot better than, you know, if you'd have been selling across the scale.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.